Morning to you all. It's a privilege to be here this morning when Andrew and Susan aren't here. So one gets a little bit, I won't say nervous, but there's an awesome responsibility that's put on all of us who come together in the body to serve the body. And so this morning you had Glenn and that man there, and basically Paul. It's the first time they've done this. But, you know, the Lord leads us into things that we're not necessarily prepared for. And that's where we need to rely on His grace, His strength, and the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And this morning, I wanted to share something. You know, I've been sharing on building the church, coming together in unity of the Spirit, building one another, looking after one another. But this morning, I just wanted to focus a little bit on our personal lives. Because if your personal life isn't where the Lord can use you, it's difficult for Him to put you in the body. And whether we like it or not, we are given this precious gift in jars of clay, which means we are flawed. I love the word flawed. We're not perfect in any way. I'm not perfect in any way. And, you know, we understand that if we're going to be part of the Lord's plan, we need to be sensitive to what He's asking us to do. And if we're not in a place where our personal growth or our understanding of what He wants is not there, we're going to not be, I hesitate to use the word included. But we need to be in that place of being willing to serve Him, to build what He wants to build. I know that with Andrew, he has a calling as a pastor. I'm never too sure whether to be thankful that the Lord never put that on me. But sometimes I see what pastors have to go through and I think, maybe not. But I know what He's called me to do. And He's called me, very simply, to build the church, to build the body, to do whatever it is in my ability, careful, and the Holy Spirit's strengthening, guiding, and grace to build what the Lord wants us to build. And He wants to build it His way. And so for many years, I've tried to build it the worldly way, and it hasn't worked terribly well. So one of the things I wanted to talk about this morning is, are you growing? Are you growing as a Christian? Now that's something other people can see, believe it or not, but it's something that you need to examine yourself. We've talked about examining yourself. And we need to be careful that when we examine ourselves, it's not with condemnation, but with an understanding that we need to see where we are. And so I'll go into some of that at the moment. But, you know, in my experience, if you're not growing, you're going backwards. And I use the example of a fish in water. And it was a gentleman some years ago who quoted and said, the only fish that swim with the current are dead. And if you think about it, a fish swims upstream the whole time. He swims in the current. And once he stops swimming upstream, it's because he's not alive anymore. So we need to look at the fact that growing as a Christian, growing in the Lord, growing in the Spirit, growing in whatever the Lord puts before it, in His knowledge and in His grace, we need to be in that place of putting effort. It does require effort. It's not something that you can lie back and say, I'm fine. Because, yeah, you may be fine. I can't question whether the Lord is going to accept our initial salvation or not, but I believe He will. But at the same time, we're going to miss out on so much. You know, for many years of my life, I walked away. And when I say walked away, I went the way of the world. And it didn't get me anything, I can assure you, except a lot of heartache and pain for myself and for everybody around me. And so for me, I have come to understand that we need to live, breathe, serve, whatever it is, in the grace of the Lord. We cannot do it ourselves. And, you know, we need to understand also that spiritual maturity, which is what I'm talking about, spiritual maturity takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It's only taken me about 45 years, so there's still time. But I look, but I've wasted some of that. I haven't understood what God has wanted. I haven't understood His grace for me. He hasn't I haven't understood it. But now I more and more each day I understand more of God's grace and what He wants from all of us, not just me. So I don't speak just for me. I do speak for all of us. We are a work in progress. I know it's a sort of worldly phrase that we coin these days to make excuses for not doing what we're meant to do. But we are a work in progress, whether we like it or not. We've started. We've all been given this incredible gift of salvation. All of us here have understood that. If you haven't, come and chat. We'll pray with you afterwards. But all of us have understood this incredible miracle of salvation. We know we've just gone through all the songs, the praise that we had, the table of the Lord. We all understand what God did for us, how much it actually cost Him. The question is how we respond to that. And one of the things that we got to remember is Paul, on the road to Damascus, met Jesus. And when you meet Jesus, nothing is ever the same again. And I'm sure all of you can testify that. You were never, ever the same again. But what happened with Paul was an experience that we all share in some form or other. But the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what is our response to the salvation, to the grace that we've been given? What is our response? And with Paul, it was a very marked physical, emotional, whatever you want to call it, a total change of heart. He was a total repentant person walking in exactly the opposite direction to where he was. And instead of killing Christians, he's now teaching and lifting Christians up. So you must remember poor Ananias, when he was asked to go and pray for Paul, questioned the Lord and said, excuse me, you want me to pray for who? Paul, this bad guy. And the Lord said, yeah, go. I'll show him how much he must suffer for me. And the interesting thing about Paul is that when he got born again, when he saw God's salvation, when he met Jesus, all his teaching just all came into the place. Because Jesus, if you look at the Old Testament, once you're born again and you begin to look into His word, you can see Jesus and the crucifixion all the way through the scripture. And for him, it just all fell into place. Because God's plan is not just for today. It's not just for tomorrow. It's for the whole of eternity, from the beginning to the end. God has a plan. And I do want to fit into that because we need to be growing. We need to be changing. We need to be allowing the Lord. And it's a work of the gospel. It's a work of the cross in our lives to allow Him to change us. We've got to allow Him to change us. Because if we're not being changed, then we're never going to be a useful team in the kingdom, but we're going to miss out on so much blessing. You know, there's a time when I didn't understand that. But now more and more each day, I'm beginning to see what God's grace has done for me. I wouldn't be here without God's grace. In terms of the Old Testament, I would not have survived the occasion. Okay, in terms of the Old Testament and the rules of Moses, I would not have been allowed to live. How's that? So God's grace for me has been absolutely, absolutely incredible. I cannot explain it. It's in the little things of life, not necessarily the big things. But I know that the Lord has brought me here. I stand here this morning purely by God's grace. Certainly nothing to do with me. One of the things that we need to realize that it is a work of God in our lives. It's a work of the cross in our lives. And as Ken was sharing it, we need to put our lives on that altar. Because unless we're getting rid of the flesh, we cannot walk in the Spirit. You know, I shared last week on the fruits of the Spirit. And we can't have the fruits of the Spirit if we hold on to the flesh. You know, it's two different things completely. And one of the things that we need to be aware of is that there's a lot of encouragement. And I'll just read to you from 2 Peter 3, verse 18, where he's talking about end times. He's talking about being ready. He's talking about being prepared. And he comes, he says, He says, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. He is wanting us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Because if we're not growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, we can be led astray. We can be taken off the path that we're on. And we need to be careful that we don't get led astray. And the only way you could be led astray is if you're growing, if you're seeking, if you're spending time with the Lord. You know, we need to be able to serve him in a greater way. I believe the Lord has so much more for us that we just don't even, we don't actually truly understand or even contemplate or even imagine what the Lord can do with us when we serve him in spirit and in truth with our whole heart. You know, the saving grace that Paul received is a saving grace all of that. And all of us can come to that place of walking in that grace. And that is what the Lord wants of us. You know, Paul understood that grace. And grace, when we talk about grace, it's not just the power for salvation. It's the power to walk and live and serve him the way he wants us. It's the power of grace that we get from the Lord. You know, whenever Paul talks about grace, he always talks about power. John as well. They talk about the power with grace. Grace, we cannot accept. We cannot receive it if we have pride in our lives. Grace comes when we're obedient, when we're submitted, when we humble ourselves before the Lord. Grace will come. Grace is the exact opposite of law. And one of the things I just wanted to mention is, what is grace? We all know the grace, but grace is God's life, power, and righteousness given by his unmerited favor. We're getting what we don't deserve and don't get what we do deserve. I'll paraphrase that. Because I don't know about you, but I certainly have done nothing to deserve God's grace. He's decided, and if he's decided, it's good enough for me. And I look at you guys here, and if the Lord's decided to give you his grace and his salvation, it's got to be good enough for me. No matter what I see, no matter... Careful. But you understand what happens. Because we can look at each other here, and we can go, I certainly wouldn't have lived one. We don't see each other the way God does. When God looks at us, what does he see? Who does he see? He sees Jesus. As long as we're standing on the righteousness that's been given to us for free, who are we? And that is what grace is about. The Lord has said, you belong to me. That's it. That's salvation. And once you receive salvation, everything begins to fall into place. You see things clearly of what the Lord wants of us. You know, Paul understood that grace was where his strength came from. And if we want to look at, in fact, let me go to 2 Corinthians verse 12, where Paul is talking, if I could find it in here. 2 Corinthians verse 12, if you're writing it down, it is verse 9 and 10. And he says here, and Paul was talking, he was bleating about his weaknesses, complaining, I'll use it, about the things in his life that are troubling him, the things that are really, he says, I can't do it, I cannot do this. And he says here, and he asked the Lord three times to say, Lord, please take this away from me. And the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So in his submission, he's humbling himself, God's grace, the power of God's grace was there to let him come through whatever situation he was in. Again, we've spoken about this a couple of times, not just myself, but when we get to these tough times, these times of testing, we got illness, there's financial, there's we live in this world, and life unfortunately happens to all of us in some form or other. But it's in this situation, do we complain? Do we stand up and shout at, shout at God, which I have heard people do. I've never, well, I may have done it once or twice. But it's to get in front of God and say, Lord, I need your grace. This is what is before me. And we need to understand sometimes that all testing and all trials, you know, both James and Peter talk about, you know, why do we get surprised by these trials that come upon us? To me these days, I believe some of the trials that are definitely coming before me are put there by the Lord. Because he's wanting to grow us. He's wanting to put our trust in him to be able to grow in faith, to grow in the trust, to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord. And Paul himself in, as I said, in 2 Corinthians 12, when he says there, my weakness, my strength is made perfect in my weakness. So he was admitting that he's not capable. And our biggest problem, I come out of a place where if you don't make a plan, if you don't put your act together, you're gone. I mean, there's no AA on the roadside. There's no green flag or whatever you want to call it. You don't sort of put your hand up and say, hi, can you help me? Because it's not going to happen. But we're in a different place with the Lord himself. And that is even standing on the side of a road 100 miles from anywhere with a broken down vehicle and no AA. Lord, help me. Show me how to deal with this. And you know, we actually, first thing we do everything in our own power. And when we run out of options, we then say, ah, Lord, help me. Oh, crazy. Why don't we just, right from the beginning, say, Lord, yours. And more, we're learning, my wife and I, we're learning to say, Lord, show me. Big things, little things. And you know, one of the things we're beginning to see is the Lord's grace in our lives in the little things. Not the big things. You know, sometimes we look for these, the miracles, the big things in life. But you know what? It's in the little things. And if we're not aware of what the Lord is doing, we will miss these things. You know, we need to grow. And one of the things we've understood saving grace. We understand what saving grace is. Ephesians 4, it says, by grace you have been saved by faith. This is not of yourselves and not of works. It's of God. It's a free gift. And sometimes we can end up in a situation of wanting to pay for that gift. Have you ever been given a gift by somebody and said, no, I couldn't. No, please, I don't want. Somebody hands you a check for a grand or whatever it is. You go, no, I couldn't take that. What? Where's your, that's just straight, that's straight pride. There's no humility in that saying, thank you, Lord. You know, it's like that guy sitting on the roof where, you know, the floods are rising and the chopper comes and says, oh no, it's okay, the Lord will save me. And the chopper goes off. Some other guy comes along, chopper, those whirly birds. And then a boat comes along when the tide's, it's really up to the roof now. And he's saying, no, the Lord will save me. And eventually he the water comes up, he drowns. And he gets to the pearly gates. He says, but I thought the Lord was going to save me. He said, listen, I sent the helicopter, I sent the boat, I sent these other people. What's your problem? You know, and we're like that. We look for something, maybe the supernatural, I don't know what it is, when in fact the Lord is incredibly practical. The Lord has a plan and he's practical. He's not going to just leave us on the roof and drown, you know. But quite often we leave ourselves on the roof to drown. You know, there's a Ephesians 2, sorry. Maybe I should like to read it just to remind you. I find Ephesians is probably one of the, you know, they ask you if you were going to be on a deserted island, which book would you take with you apart from the Bible? Choose one book of the Bible. I'd probably take Ephesians. I don't know why. It's something that's always attracted me. I've got more marks and lines in Ephesians than probably the rest of the Bible put together. But anyway, that's me. And I just wanted to read to you from Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 9. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anybody should boast. And we need to, all of us, come to the place where we realize we cannot do anything to deserve or work for our salvation. You know, one of the biggest problems that a lot of Christians have, they spend so much time in working for the Lord, serving the Lord, looking after people, doing this, doing that. They forget to look after themselves. And if you're not looking after yourself in terms of your personal time with the Lord, you're not going to go anywhere. You'll burn out. You'll crash and burn. And that's from experience, guys. And that's from people I've seen around me, that we spend so much time on the Lord, on his works and doing what he wants. I'm not saying you shouldn't, please. Don't misunderstand me. It is what we're called to do. But doing it in their own strength, doing it their way, not the Lord's way. And the Lord is wanting us to do it his way. And we cannot do it in our own strength. There is no ways we can do what the Lord wants of us in our own strength. And there is a power that comes with the grace. And when we're in a place of allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us, the Lord will give us that power. He'll give us that perseverance. He'll give us that patience. He'll begin to grow the fruit in us. When we're walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will work in us. But if we're walking in the flesh, the Holy Spirit can do nothing. You know, the Holy Spirit does nothing in your life without consent. If you sit there and say, no, I don't want to get involved. I don't want you in my life. The Holy Spirit goes, yeah, I can, no problem. There's no pressure. We're free. We're free to accept that Holy Spirit and say, Lord, yes, please. I need you to help me. I need you to grow me. I need you to work in my life. Is it going to be simple? Is it going to be easy? No. Anybody that says the Christian life, I've shared it before, but there was a lovely man in Norwich, a street preacher. They were playing music and he was going for it and he was sharing the love and the gospel. And unfortunately, he was saying, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Everything will be fine after that. Everything. I'm going, you must be crazy, because it doesn't work that way. When you come to Jesus, there's not some sort of a free ride to heaven, you know, like, hey, everything's good. I don't know about you guys, but my experience of the Christian life is it can be quite tricky at sometimes, because it's your flesh goes, no, I don't want. The Spirit's saying, come with me. And the Spirit never pushes. It's us who's got to make that decision to say, yes, I want to go there. And if we don't go there, the Lord can't do anything with us. You know, if we're talking about a supernatural strength. It allows us to live this life of righteousness. It gives us the ability to grow in faith. It gives us the ability to submit ourselves to what the Lord wants. But we've got to get rid of the pride. We've got to allow that humility of hearts. We've got to allow that brokenness. We sang earlier on about broken hearts. When was the last time you broke your heart before the Lord? I'm not saying it's not as a law, but just allow the Lord to work in you. Just say, Lord, show me. Most of us are not happy to allow the Lord to show us what's going on in our lives. But we have got to come to that place of sitting down and saying, Lord, show me. And you need to brace yourself, maybe, because when you ask the Lord to show you, he will. Do I like what I see when he shows me? Of course not. But I'm not going to be condemned by it, because I need to say that's the old man. I've put off the old man. I want to put on the new man. The old man is the law. The new man is the grace. And if you look at the Old Testament, how many times have you seen grace spoken of in the Old Testament? I challenge you. You can see where the Lord's grace applies, but the word grace is not really used too much. But the New Testament, there's grace, 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 grace. Because it's a new covenant. It's a different place. The Lord has given us a new way. And, you know, we need to understand that we've been given the Holy Spirit. We read John 14, 15. You read, 1 Corinthians 2. We've got the Spirit that comes from God. And that Holy Spirit works in our lives when we allow him to give us the strength to bring us to that place where we can serve the Lord in righteousness, to serve him the way he wants, in his strength. Because if we try to do it ourselves, the Lord will not interfere. If we put our lives in our own hands, the Lord cannot do anything for us. So we've got to allow him to say, Lord, okay, I'm available. And I'm sure that you'll wake up tomorrow morning and think, maybe not this morning, you know. But you know, the Lord bears with us. And the Lord accepts the way we are. The Lord bears with us. I'm not talking about continuous sinning and saying, yeah, it's quite happy. Because the Lord speaks about abusing the grace. You read Galatians 5. There's a whole chapter about where we come from, the fruits of the flesh or the fruits of the Spirit. And the Lord's saying, don't abuse the grace that you've been given. And a lot of Christians, I know people myself, who born again, Spirit-filled, but I can still live the way I want. I don't know how that works, because the Holy Spirit prompts us, he niggles us. But they've managed to dampen the Spirit, and they live their lives the way they lived before. They live in the world, and they live like the world. You couldn't tell the difference between them and people in the world. But they go to church on Sunday, and it's hallelujah, thank you, Lord. And we need to be very, very careful that we don't become this religious with a facade of, I'm holy. Because the Lord will judge us. The Lord will stand and say, hey, where are you? You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, relatives. And I said, are you ready? I said, you know the Lord. He said, no, what's more important, does the Lord know me? And you know, that's really what it's all about. Hey, we can say, well, I know you, I love you, Lord. But the question is, does he know you? And we need to be very careful that we serve him with who we are. We cannot be what we're not. I'm not Andrew. Andrew's not me. We're totally different people. We have a common denominator. We serve the Lord. We love the Lord. That's who we want to serve. But he's got his job. I got mine. Bernie's got his, I think. No, sorry. But you understand, each one of us has got a different part to play. And this morning I was really, I know it was a little bit stuttery is maybe the right word. But there's people getting involved because they want to serve the Lord. I know it's a little bit different with Andrew not being here, but it's opportunity for people to step up and say, yeah, I want to be involved. Each one of us has got a different role, a different part of the body. And we need to be careful that we don't try and be somebody else. And the Lord accepts us for where we are. He bears with us. He wants us to be in a place where he can guide us, he can show us, he can build us, he can strengthen us. But we need to be able to serve him the way we are. And the other problem within a church in religion is that people want everybody else to be like them. You know, the biggest problem with denominations is you're going to denomination, and I use the word denomination fairly loosely. You go to a church, and they all want you to be conformed. They all want you to be uniform. They all want you to be like this. There's no individuality. There's no acceptance of error. There's no acceptance of mistakes. There's no acceptance if you're not perfect. And we need to be careful to accept one another for exactly where they are. And that if you've received the Lord's grace, I certainly, you know, knowing where I've been, what's the word I'm looking for? I've got no reason to be up here at all. It's God's grace that brings me here. And I stand here genuinely with a genuine fear and trembling, because I know where I've come from. And hopefully that must transmit to an atmosphere here. That must transmit to my grace for you. I don't know where you've been. Does it matter? If the Lord's forgiven you, you're in the Lord's house, you're part of the Lord's body, what does it matter to me where you've been? What does it matter to me, your weaknesses? What does it matter? It doesn't matter, because we need to see each other for who we are in Christ. And that grace that the Lord has shown us needs to be shown to one another. You know, we all like people to be like us. Well, they're not the same as me. Okay, so I hope you're not looking at this foreigner here just thinking, hold on a minute, he's not like us. And I'm not. And I need to accept that and say, Lord, thank you. When we look at other people, we don't want them to be like us. We need them to be like Jesus. And we need to do what we can to build them, to help them to become more like Jesus each and every day. You know, we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. And to walk in the Spirit, we need to humble ourselves. We need to accept God's grace and say, I am nothing. Not to condemn you, but to understand exactly who He is and who you are. And you know, when we stand next to the Lord, we realize how small we truly are. But when we stand next to ourselves, Jesus diminishes because we put ourselves on the throne of our own lives. And as soon as you do that, Jesus diminishes. What He wants diminishes. His grace diminishes. His strength, whatever He has for you, diminishes. So we need to be very careful about where we stand. But we belong to the Lord. We've been purchased. We've been redeemed. We've been bought by His blood. What a price. Jesus died for us. He gave His, He said, no one takes it from me. I give it willingly. And we need to understand that that was a personal sacrifice. How prepared are we to sacrifice ourselves for one another? It's an interesting question. Am I prepared to give my life for my wife? There was a time, I guarantee you, not a chance. But I like to think I would, yes. Definitely, I'll give my life for my wife. Yeah. But you understand, if you examine your heart, you know, we had this old story, it won't be long, I promise. And then where people say to you, right, if you were making two cups of tea, you made a cup for your wife and a cup for yourself, and a fly drops in your wife's cup, what are you going to do? Do you take the fly out and don't say a word? Do you then take that cup and give her your cup? Or do you make her a brand new cup of tea? I think several years ago, it had been, okay, let's go. But now I won't. I know that now, well, boiling water kills any diseases. Yep. Whoa. No. I don't want to go there. But you hear what I'm saying. Is what is our heart for one another? And you know, we've been shown grace. We need to show grace to one another. We need to have in here, and there is actually, I'm not trying to say that we need it, because I believe it's here. When you walk in here, there is the grace. There's a grace of the Lord here to accept people for who they are and where they come from. We don't know who's going to walk through that door. There's some strange people out there, and a few in here too. No, but what I'm saying is we need to be in a place of saying, Lord, who bring them? We love them. And that's not something that happens overnight. It's a work of the Lord. It's a work in progress. It's a work. As I said, seriously, I stand here after 45 years as a Christian. Wow. And what has that got me? There's a whole chunk of that 45 years which is non-existent. But the Lord has brought me back around to where I started. So we need to be careful that we don't abuse God's grace. We don't take it for granted. Because the time of the Gentiles is coming to a close, folks. Sorry, we don't want to get into that sort of stuff. But you know, time is tight. I'm seeing an urgency in a lot of the churches who serve the Lord, who follow the Lord, as the scripture desires us to do, as the Lord desires us to do. But there's an urgency I'm feeling in all these men that I listen to when they share. There's an urgency that says, get your life right. And so for me, I just want to encourage you, because we need to be in that place of understanding what the Lord wants. And the second part, it says, grow in the knowledge of Christ. I'll deal with that very briefly. You know, we are encouraged by 1 Peter, where he says, crave spiritual milk so that you can grow. I think sometimes within the churches, there are Christians who try to eat, I hesitate to use the word red meat, but serious meat, when they haven't in fact grown enough to handle it. They haven't indulged in the spiritual milk to grow to that point where they can handle things. There are times you can share with people what the Lord has shown you, But sometimes you've got to be careful because they wouldn't understand it. We need to be sensitive to where people are. Not to say, look, I don't want to talk to you, but to understand what you need to be saying to them and how you need to be saying to them, to encourage them, to build them. Crave spiritual milk so that we can grow. We need to get to the place where that old man is more and more put aside. The new man of grace is put here. The old man of the law and religion is over here. And there's no freedom in that law. We cannot be free in the law. We are free in grace. Lord gives us that grace. And so we need to understand that we can have spiritual starvation, which is what I want to share with you this morning. When we look at a baby and the baby stops eating and it stops wanting to eat, as a mother, what is the first thing you think of? Something's not right. Am I right? If you're looking after animals, sorry, I'm not putting the two together. When you look at animals and your dog stops eating, what's wrong? Because the first thing you think of is something wrong. When we lose our spiritual appetite, when we stop reading, when we stop praying, when we stop fellowshipping, and we realize that our spiritual appetite is going, we need to check ourselves. We need to see what's going on in our lives. And we need to be aware that we need to grow. And we cannot grow if we're not spending time in the Word, spending time with the Lord, spending time praying, spending time in fellowship, spending time listening to men who carry the Spirit of the Lord. And we need to be aware of our own lives and say, am I spiritually starved? Because if you're in that place of being spiritually starved, you're not going to grow. You become a stunted Christian who is of no use to anybody. But I look out here this morning and I'm truly encouraged because I see people here who desire to serve the Lord, who are growing. But I just want to counsel you because I spent many years not growing. And in fact, going backwards. And we need to see that the Lord wants us to grow in faith. So he puts things before us and he allows us these issues in front of us, and we need to deal with them in faith through grace. We cannot deal with it. We cannot deal with it. If you try to deal with it, all that'll happen is you'll end up depressed, despondent, leave the church, go somewhere else. But it's allow the Lord to do that work in you. And we need to allow the work of the cross in our lives. You know, we need to identify with Jesus in his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. You cannot have a resurrected life without the suffering and the death. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And Jesus didn't do it that way. And we need to identify with that in allowing these trials to come before us, allowing our hearts to be changed, allowing the Lord to work in us to bring us to a place where we can serve him. And I want to encourage you with a closing scripture. Better stop now. I just want to close with a scripture that has always encouraged me. And that is, where am I? This is, you've heard me share this before. And it's worth sharing again. And this is Paul. Paul, the man who did so much. We wouldn't be here without the mission, without the vision, without the purpose that God put before Paul. And Paul responded to his salvation by giving his life entirely for us. If you think about it, most of the epistles are written by Paul, and they are supported and backed up by the other apostles, but Paul himself was the apostle to the Gentiles, and he is responsible in part for us being here. Obviously, he's been led and coached and grown by the Holy Spirit. But he himself says this: not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or understood, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, Let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. We are not all in the same place. We are not in the same place. There are some ahead of us, some behind us, some alongside of us, but we're all in the same place. We all serve Jesus. And we need to be careful that we don't try to be what we're not. Paul says, I haven't attained. Let's understand. Say, thank you, Lord. I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace is sufficient for me right now where I stand. I cannot be where everybody else is. I've got to be where the Lord has placed me. Do I desire to go further? Yes. Do I desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord? Yes. But it comes with a bit of effort. It comes with a little bit of discipline, possibly. But it also comes with the understanding that the Lord's grace is sufficient for us. He will be there to help us. And we all walk differently. We all come from different characters, different personalities. But still, we are to be transformed. We go from glory to glory. What is our goal? Is to be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the day will come when we get called home or he returns. I want to be in that place where he says, well done, faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. All of us can say that. What I don't want is where he says, who are you? You know? But I'm just wanting to encourage, because I see the Lord building something here. And I want to encourage all of you to not just think, well, okay, we're getting there. But to press on, to keep going. For that's what the Lord wants of us. He wants to grow us. And he is so, so gracious. As we can attest that his graciousness and his mercy for us is unknown. It's unbounded. It's ununderstandable. So this morning, I want to encourage you. Let the Lord work in you. Let him grow you. Let him bring you to that place where there's a real blessing in serving him. Yes, is it going to be tough? Yes. Anybody say the Christian life's not tough? Phew, hasn't been there maybe. I don't know. But I want to encourage you. The Lord is incredibly faithful. And he knows each and every one of us. All warts and all, huh? Anyway, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the grace that you show us. The grace that you show us each and every day, Lord. Lord, help us be in that place of accepting your grace. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves. Help us, Lord, to put ourselves aside to let you give us the strength and the power to live this life that you call us to live, Lord. Are there days, Lord, where we are not going to really want to do it? Yes, but Lord, your grace is sufficient. Lord, your power is made great in our weakness. Help us, Lord, to be in that place of accepting it, even when we're in a place of depression or despondency, Lord. You are still there, Lord. And Lord, as we praise you, as we worship you, Lord, I know that you will lift us up. So I want to thank you for each and every person here this morning, each and every person listening to me, that, Lord, we accept your grace. And Lord, that we press on, that we continue to serve you, Lord. Because, Lord, you have so much more for us. And so I thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord is gracious.